Welcome to this new episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast by RFI English. I'm Melissa Shemam. Twice a month, this podcast looks at one major issue on the continent, one country or one idea at a time. And this week, we focus on African contemporary arts and the art market all over the world. We'll talk with artists who presented their work at the 154 London African Art Fair in October and with curators from Portugal, Angola, and as far as Brazil. But first, my colleague Oya Houghton has been to the Paris African Art Fair, also known as Africa or ACA, and here she is with me to talk about it. Hello, Olya.
Hi, Melissa. Great to be with you for this Spotlight on Africa.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. Welcome to Spotlight on Africa. So, Olya, what a busy art season. It seems like here in Paris there was a lot to see at this year's edition of ACA.
Yes, it was indeed a very impressive showcase. There were around 41 galleries representing nearly 100 artists from 29 different countries. And this year's special focus was on works by artists from the Caribbean. Now, the region's ties, as you know very well, with the African continent date way back to the transatlantic slave trade between the 16th and 19th centuries. So this obviously had a huge impact on the local cultural practices. You can see a blend of West African traditions with also European and indigenous elements. Now, the founder and director of the event, Victoria Mann, she told me why it's so important to think globally about African art.
So since the very beginning of the fair, it's been really important for us to actually take the notion of geography out of the equation. The idea was not to have a fair that presented artists because they're from a certain country or because their passport marks them as African. But rather, what was interesting to us is the link claimed by each and every artist in the fair in their practice towards the African continent. And that link can be qualified by a lot of things. It can be qualified by history, it can be qualified by heritage, it can be qualified by memory, it can be qualified by lineage. And so it feels very natural for us to open up to older diasporas around the world that have a history with the continent. Last year, we did a big focus on African American artists in the fair, and a big focus on Northern America. And so, in the continuation of that, this year we wanted to address Caribbean and overseas French West Indies territories. ACA is, before anything, a platform for discovery. That is part of our DNA. That is what we love about welcoming once a year the public into this space, is to show things that we haven't seen before. And the art scenes from the Caribbean is not well known. Even the Caribbean that are French territory is not well known. So for us, it was a beautiful opportunity.
And speaking of beautiful opportunities, during the fair, I met Christelle Clairville, who started her own online gallery called Maison Gaston 3 years ago. Originally from Guadeloupe and now working in Orléans, south of Paris, she says it was important to show the world that Caribbean artists have talent and flair and should be taken just as seriously as artists on the European cultural scene.
I worked in the startup ecosystem for 10 years, and in each different company I was going to, I was hearing the same nonsense about my home island. So people were saying that we're maybe a bit slower, or that studying in the West Indies might be easier than in mainland France. And so I was really, at first, unaware of this way of thinking till now. So at some point I decided I could show something different from the Caribbean, something that I know that exists in my home island, and I wanted to show a form of delicacy and elegance from the West Indies. And that's why I created La Maison Gaston, to make people discover Guadeloupe, Martinique, and basically all the Caribbean differently. I started 3 years ago, so I cannot say that people's mind have changed in 3 years, but I think that some people were surprised. And for me, it's a huge win, because when they see first the artwork and they are moved, it speaks to their heart directly. And then when you say, okay, so the artist is from the Caribbean, they are surprised, and I always see their eyebrows. They go like, ah, from Guadeloupe, really? And I'm like, yeah. And so it's, for me, each time, it's really a win.
Thank you very much, Olya, for visiting ACCA in Paris for Spotlight on Africa. On my side, I went to London, England, to attend 154 African Art Fair. This year, there was a huge focus on diaspora artists. And there I met with Tiffany Delune. She's from Congo, Belgium, and France. And this self-taught artist told me how important it is for her to reconnect with the other artists from the diaspora.
My name is Tiffany Delune, and I'm a mixed media artist. I work on Canva, textile, works on paper as well. And I recently ventured into Sunscape. And this piece that we're also seeing here today, which is glass and ceramic. 154 was actually the first time I was introduced to an international audience. So I showed in 2019 with Ed Cross Fine Art at the time. And to be honest, it's kind of where it all started.
Great. So that's a place you like to come back to?
Yes, I probably have a special affection for it. And I'm always very eager to see who's going to show, also because I get to discover new galleries and smaller galleries from different parts of the world, whether it's in Europe or Africa. And I actually got to know a lot of different artists and new artists, and including women artists. So I love coming.
When they define African arts, it's getting, I feel like, broader and broader every year. So for you, how does it resonate?
My mother is French and my dad is Belgian and Congolese. So we can say I come from the diaspora. And I think, of course, we define Africa as the continent, but the fair has expanded as well to the Caribbean, obviously, and probably in some ways to the global south, because we can speak of the Afro-Brazilians, for example, or maybe at some point we'll speak of the other ethnies from Australia and Americas. So I think, first of all, that's a very interesting dialogue. And obviously the diaspora is everywhere. So we could be located in France or Germany or maybe Asia. And I think that's a very interesting topic. I definitely think that the fact that I'm come from a mixed race heritage informs my work, because, again, I'm a mixed media artist, and most likely the reasons why I'm mixing so many different materials and techniques, working with acrylic, with paper cuts, with gold leaf, with pencils, with glitter and oil pastel and all kind of things, is probably the way I look at the world from a very young age, which is through many lenses, many culture, many angle, because that happens within my family, first of all. And also because as an adult, I lived in many, many different places. I grew up in France, but then I got to live in Montreal, in Geneva, in London and Lisbon before I relocated to France. So I've always learned to look at the world from a lot of different perspectives and sort of then come up with my own unique perspectives. And that definitely informs the work. Then, yes, specifically, I do believe that my African heritage does influence me in some ways. Is it entirely influencing me? Again, I will say no, but it is influencing in the sense that I work with a gallery that's also based in Africa. It's based in London and in Accra in Ghana, and we've done a residency and a show there together. I've also visited my country, Congo. I've visited Nigeria. I've visited Egypt and Morocco, and all of these places have always had a massive impact on my practice. And probably because my work is very spiritual and looks at the way we have a relationship to the natural world and the inner self. And I feel that this is highly activated when I visit. And maybe that sort of magic, spiritual, mystical side of Africa.
And also there's one thing, when we look at some of the artworks, it feels like you're using some materials that you're really trying to transform. And there's almost like a process of beautification, I would say. Does it seem relevant?
Yes, because I personally think that in the current world that we live in, the statement of dreaming and, let's say, beauty is a statement, let's say, and the idea to invite for a pause and for reflection and also a moment maybe of playfulness and curiosity and to just take you in a world that just makes you dream for a minute is a statement. And so as a result, of course, my practice itself needs to be playful. So the paper cuts remind me a lot of being a child and just let go of any sort of inhibition and cut as I want. But then the gold leaf has like a sort of majestic, very like beautiful feeling about it. And it reminds me of a lot of materials that you find in the world of magic and circus. And then in other works that you'll see of mine, you'll see the oil pastels, you see the acrylic, the spray paint, and every material basically has a meaning and a way for me to just have a lot of fun and lead with curiosity. And that curiosity is a way for me to invite you to engage with your emotions and create new conversations.
Now, on the African continent itself, for the first time in its 73 years history, Angola has received artworks from the Sao Paulo Biennale in Brazil, thanks to a travelling showcase. The event's curators told RFI they hope the project will highlight long-standing correspondences between Angola and Brazil, united by a shared colonial past. Listen to one of them, artist, writer and curator Grada Quilomba.
Luanda in Angola was, for us, an obvious choice and an important choice because we have a history, a common history, which is a very, very complicated one and very complex. The history of Angola with Brazil as well as with Portugal, where I was born, and Brazil, where the biennial takes place, have really this very complex relationship with Angola, which is based in a history of violence and a history of oppression, a history of collective trauma, not only because of colonization and extraction and exploration, but also because of the history of the transatlantic slave trade. So this became a very important topic during this biennial of São Paulo, which is titled Choreographies of the Impossible. In Choreographies of the Impossible, we want to deal not with a specific theme, but with the movement of living within the impossibility and to have strategies to live within the impossibility. And this history is indeed a metaphor of this impossibility. So it was very important to rethink and to revise history and to come back to Angola and to extend these questions into the African continent.
This biennale brings together a set of artistic practices, cultural and social references, to refer to the modes of expression that deal with total violence, the impossibility of life in complete freedom, and the limits of the idea of justice. That's what another of the curators told me, Elio Meneses. Listen to Elio.
We hope that the choreographers of the impossible arriving here in Luanda, Angola, and in the African continent for the first time can also share some of those poetic productions for the first time here in the continent, but also to reinforce the colonial perspective that we have to look at the diversity and look at the variety of expressions and not only towards Europe and Western perspective.
Now, two of the highlights of the year might very well be on the continent as well, like Art Lagos, West Africa's leading international art fair, with its 9th edition from October the 31st to November the 3rd. And especially for artists from French-speaking Africa, there is the Dakar Biennale. After a false start in May, it was postponed to November and it will open on the 7th for a month. I spoke to one of the participants, the Algerian artist Dalila Dalias Bouzar, about the inclusivity in the city of Dakar and notably in this biennale, inclusivity of North African artists like herself.
For me, the Dakar Biennale is very important because it is the first of its kind in Africa. It is a biennale that brings together all the countries of Africa and makes no distinction between black Africans and Africans from North Africa, which, for me, is the normal thing to do. The rest of the world tends to distinguish between Africans. black or North Africans find themselves excluded, and I don't think that's normal. In so doing, we deny the ties linking all these countries. In fact, there have been a huge number of cultural and economic exchanges between North Africa and the rest of Africa.
D'autant que, en fait, il y a eu énormément de liens culturels, économiques entre l'Afrique du Nord et le reste de l'Afrique.
Dalila Dalias Bouzar also shared a few words on her work, created specifically for Dakar.
Mon travail artistique, il est très centré autour d'obsessions que j'ai.
My artistic work is very much centered around my obsessions, which are linked to the body, to the flesh, to liberation. So everything that I'm going to propose is going to be linked to that. As an artist, I'm limited because I cannot get out of this obsessive sphere, so I keep circling within these themes. I was asked to take part in this special project for Dakar, titled The Wake, right at the time when I entered my studio to start working. I was inspired by my desire for justice because it was impossible not to react to what is happening today in the world, especially the massacres in Gaza. These massacres and the flagrant injustice, the lies that are spreading, more and more visible. I have always been very sensitive to injustice. I was born like that, like many people, in fact. We are angry. But this is actually the first time in my artistic career when I wanted to respond to such events on the canvas, to express this injustice that I felt. So I started with that.
Mais là, en fait, c'est la première fois de ma carrière artistique où j'avais envie de répondre sur la toile, d'exprimer cette injustice que je ressentais. J'ai commencé par ça.
This was Dalila Dalias Bouzar, a French Algerian artist based between the two countries and one of the participants expected at the Dakar Biennale this year. This was the latest episode of Spotlight on Africa, a podcast produced by RFI English. It was mixed by our sound engineers, Adrien Toureau and Erwan Rom. Thanks to both of you. Thanks to my colleague at RFI English, Olya Horton, and to all our guests. And thanks to you for listening. We'll be back soon to comment on African affairs. In the meantime, do check our website, rfi.fr/en.